This is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Well, I went to Market Street early this week because it was time for my annual physical. Don't you get most of your health care at the grocery store these days? My doctor actually sent me to the grocery store a couple years ago because he was out of the flu shot. Had to go there. So I got my blood pressure checked, got my pulse taken care of, you know. Got a half pound of salami and got a $15 discount coupon on my next appendectomy. Apparently they got an arthroscopic gizmo to the meat slicer and just popped that thing right out. Well, I went to the pharmacy and I asked if they happened to have the shingles shot, just kind of on a whim. And the girl said, "Yeah, we have it. And if you want to wait about 20 minutes, you can get it because the pharmacist is on his break." And I was a little bit put out about that. Why do I have to wait for the guy to get off his break? Just give me, and I just decided I would come back later. And I started thinking about being put out about the guy on his break. He had that coming, I'm sure, as do we all. And in point of fact, if you look carefully at the New Testament, there are half a dozen places where people are looking for Jesus, and guess what? He's on his break, or trying to be. After the feeding of the 5,000, he kind of goes on his break. Certainly at Gethsemane, he needs some time to get ready for what he's about to do. Before calling the 12 apostles, he spends some time alone and in prayer, perhaps gaining some insight as to which 12 he really needs. And interestingly enough, right before the feeding of the 5,000, in another version of that story, the text, the two verses I read a minute ago, are Jesus' response to just having learned that his cousin and friend John the Baptist has been executed. And he says, "You know what? We need a break." And he takes his disciples off. They don't get a very long break because the crowd follows, and then he has to feed them. But you get the idea that there's a reason and a necessity to take your break. Take your break. Country kind of does that this week. 4th of July and the sentiments that surround it are sort of the summer's version of Thanksgiving. And all of the family gatherings and the prayers and the gratitude and everything that goes with that. And, you know, the food and the fun is all part of essentially what we have built into our culture for very good reason. It's time to take our break. What do we do when we're on break? More accurately, what don't we do? We don't do all the stuff that drives us nuts, or at least we try not to anyway. But I think taking our break involves what can be some very intentional things that edify our lives and give us strength. On your break this week, I would suggest that you spend some time remembering, quiet time, maybe prayerful time, remembering that this little short span of life that we get was preceded by a great deal of effort and energy and will be followed by a legacy to which we'll contribute, you know, in our own way. Clearly, we remember the people who have secured our way of life by their service and their sacrifice in the U.S. military. Most prominently these days, through things like the honor flight and such, we're paying special attention to those who literally secured our lives by their fighting and service in World War II. And we're running out of those guys, and we need to pay attention more closely every chance we get. It's a humbling experience for me, honestly, because I missed military service by a random act of chance. I got a high lottery number during Vietnam, and I just didn't have to go, so I went and did something else. My calling was to go to college, and I learned there how to teach college, I guess. So, you know, we do what we do to contribute in our own way of service. But it is humbling to remember, and there are a couple names on the wall that I check out every time I go, and some names kind of behind the wall that were affected in ways that are really hard to describe and how my life would have been different if I'd just gotten a different number. So I remember, you know, and remembering is a useful thing to do even when you pray, as you remember all of the things for which we give thanks, for the ability to freely choose so many things that are different. I mean, anyone that was born in the United States is a very lucky person. And perhaps on your break this week, remember those specific people or the groups of soldiers that have made it possible. And in some way, honor their sacrifice with an honorable way of life. So on your break, remember. On your break, relax. Relax, literally. Don't do things that wear you out, unless they're really, really, really fun. And I would suggest that relaxation involves both doing and not doing. I believe I set a personal record this last week by leaving my Texas Tech email account alone for longer, I think, than ever before. I last opened it on Thursday night. I will not open it again until tomorrow morning. And frankly, there's not much going on. But there's at least a 1 in 3 chance that every time I open that account, something annoys me. And for this weekend, I just decided I'm not going to allow that to annoy me. Other things might, but I'm not going to let that or anything that might be associated with that get under my skin. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my job, and there's a lot that it has going for it, but I get a lot of annoying emails, partially because of my own personality. I get annoyed by things that maybe I ought to learn to get over, but that's another story. Anyway, I just left it alone, which is a record for me. 4 days, my gosh. And then, in addition to that, in the way of relaxing, I kind of made a list of some of my favorite things. You know, the Julie Andrews song from Sound of Music. I got a list of favorite things. And on my break, I try to do one or two of those. And it occurs to me that Friday was just an overload of fun. One day, last Friday. Jeannie and I took a road trip, which we really like to do. We just get in the car and kind of have undivided attention, listen to things on the radio and so on. And so we took a road trip down to Austin, where we spent a little time with Lily, the 4-year-old, who's just a charmer, and of course her parents, who we love dearly. I had dinner at my favorite barbecue place on the planet and had my favorite meal from my favorite barbecue place on the planet. And then we went and saw a professional baseball game. I almost came apart. On one day, on my break, on your break, relax. Do some things that you really, really enjoy. Overload, whatever. And then don't do some things that get under your skin on your break, because it gives you strength. It gives you strength for when you have to do things that you'd rather not do, or that you have to face things that you find annoying. Remember, relax. And also renew. Renew contact with the people who care about you the most. Get reacquainted from the day-by-dayness by giving someone and receiving from them undivided attention. Now, sometimes this gets contrived. We have a rule in our house. We never turn the TV on during dinner. Well, sometimes there's a ball game. Sometimes there's the news, you know. But, you know, it's a useful and enjoyable thing to give someone your undivided attention. One of the more even intimate ways of doing that is to share a meal. It's no accident that among our sacred rituals, our most sacred rituals in the church, is the sharing of a meal. Because there's a kind of emotional intimacy, there's a kind of physical reality that goes with being nourished and being in contact with and being in close touch with someone who loves you, and it's a way of showing that you love them back, and it's edifying on your break to reconnect. It's interesting to me that when Jesus' first reaction to hearing what was deeply troubling news to him, that his friend and cousin and someone he loved very much had been heinously executed, he immediately withdraws, and he takes with him the people that he cares about. He needs to renew he needs to renew. So on your break, whether it's this week or at some point, remember that your life was preceded by and will be followed by high drama and great joy. Relax. Stop doing things that prevent you from relaxing. And get a list of your favorite things and do them, or at least one. Or overload. It's worth it now and then. And reconnect. Renew with undivided attention with someone who loves you. Or, that's another way of describing prayer. Giving undivided attention to someone who loves you and receiving it back. When I think about these thoughts and this notion of taking your break and renewing and so on, I think of a guy I knew in just my first couple of years of ministry. His name was Albert, and he's long since gone. But Albert suffered from heart disease to a level of severity that I have not seen before or since. He was almost incapacitated. He would have been a transplant candidate if other things in his life hadn't also been a little bit haywire in his health. So he was one of the sickest people I've ever met from heart disease. And I remember him telling me on a call one time that his doctor told him, he said, "Albert, I know you can't eat anything that tastes good. You can't do much, and you're more or less," but he said, "once a month, order a pizza." And that kept Albert going. Once a month, suspend the rules and do what gives you some sense of joy. I mean, what could it hurt in that instance? So, in honor of those who have secured our way of life and to remember the good things that God has blessed us with, chief among them, people who love us, this week, take your break. Amen.